Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today we want to move on to the second aspect of salvation that Peter has given to encourage God's people in those three aspects that he mentions in the introduction of his epistle. And we have spent quite a bit of time on the first one, the election of the Father, chosen by the Father. But we are now going to move on to the second one, which is sanctification by the Spirit. And that is a part of our salvation as well, and a necessary part. And as we have been pointing out, all three members of the Trinity are involved in the work of salvation. And Peter picks up three aspects of their involvement that might not be the ones that we would think of most readily. But since he did, and since he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to do so, it behooves us to at least carefully examine the three aspects that Peter sets before us, because they evidently have not only divine sanction, but great importance to the understanding that God wants his people to have. They will help us to understand the work of salvation. And so, to that end, we gather together around an open Bible once again on this Thursday, December 6, after I thank those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to keep teaching on this station. All right, once again, here's how the book opens. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, this is a rich description of the people of God, who have been, number one, chosen by the Father, but number two, transformed by the Spirit. The word that is used here is the word sanctification. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit. Now, the word sanctify at its heart means to set apart. It is the same as the word holy, to be made holy. To be sanctified is to be made holy, and to be holy is to be set apart. That's the basic idea of holiness. Now, again, that's not generally the first thing that comes to our mind when we hear the word holiness, but if we would think of it that way, I think it will help us to understand the concept a little more clearly. To be holy is to be set apart unto God. God in the Old Testament sanctified the priests. He set them apart for the work of the tabernacle and later of the temple. They were set apart to that work. They were given special duties that could only be performed by the priests. There were strong warnings against those who would intrude into the priest's office. Even kings were not allowed to make the sacrifices and offer the incense and do the work that had been assigned to the priests. That was to be carried out by those who were holy, but not to say that they were sinless, of course, but they were holy in the sense that they had been set apart unto God, anointed to that office and set apart unto God. Remember when Belshazzar was judged by God on that banquet night, when he was conducting this big drunken party for lots of people? He was really showing off. And he called for the vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem when he had defeated Israel and had destroyed Jerusalem. And he took the holy vessels, those utensils that had been designated for the service of God. They had been set apart, and they were therefore considered to be holy. And they had been taken to Babylon, and apparently were in storage, and had not been used. But on that particular night, Belshazzar said, I'm going to show who's boss, I'm going to show who's the great king. Bring those vessels that have been dedicated to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we will drink out of them. And they did. And about that time, the guests saw, writing on the wall, the finger of a man's hand. And it wrote, Mene, Mene, Teko, Upharsin, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And that very night, Belshazzar was slain, his kingdom was overthrown, and it was given to the Medes and the Persians. Now, a lot of things have been leading up to this, but at that point, he crossed the line. And what did he do that was so grievous that it caused him to forfeit his life and his kingdom, that God judged him in such a severe way? He took the holy vessels that had been set apart for God, and he used them for secular purposes. That's it. That's it. You say, I'm sure he did things that were a lot worse. He probably was guilty of sexual immorality. I wouldn't doubt it a bit. Can't say that he was. There's no record, but it would be amazing if he wasn't. He was probably guilty of murder and cruelty and blasphemy and many other things, and I'm sure he was. But what was it that he did that God considered to be the final straw? When he did that, he crossed the line. What was that? He took vessels that were holy, that were sanctified, that were set apart unto God, and he said, I can use those. I'm the king. I've got every much the right to use them. As do the priests of Israel and the temple of God in Jerusalem. And God said, oh no, you don't. Because they're holy. They've been sanctified. They've been set apart unto me. You can't have those. Well, here we're told that those believers who have been chosen by God the Father have also been sanctified by God the Holy Spirit. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit. So, we have been sanctified and are being sanctified. We have been set apart unto God. But the question then again means, what exactly does that apply to? And there are some that thinks that this is another way of talking about election. Uh-oh, here we go back to that again. But just long enough to say that I don't think that's what this word means in this situation. But you can see that. If we have been set apart unto God, that's very similar to the idea of election, having been chosen by God from out of the masses of humanity. Here are those who have been set apart unto God, but I don't think it can refer to the same thing as the election of the Father, because now we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I think it is better, therefore, to view this use of the word sanctification as something that follows election. Christians have been chosen by God the Father. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, but they are brought to the purpose for which God chose them by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. They have been set apart by the Spirit of God. In other words, the Spirit of God goes to find the ones who have been chosen by God the Father to bring them into union with Jesus Christ, to bring them to faith in Christ, to bring them into the family of God. See, election, and this is one of the misconceptions that people have about it, Election doesn't mean that anybody is brought to heaven against their will, nor does it mean that anybody is turned away from heaven who would like to be there. You probably heard those charges, but that's not true. Election means that God the Father has chosen his people, so he sends the Spirit to arrest them and to bring them to Christ. That's, I think, the meaning of the word sanctification here, having set apart by the Spirit. It's like a magistrate designating someone for arrest and then sending the sheriff to go find them and to serve a warrant or to arrest them and bring them to jail. The sheriff doesn't do that until there's a reason. Until somebody has handed him papers and say, go serve these papers on that person. Well, that's similar to what's taking place here. God the Father says, I want that person to be brought to me. And he sends the Holy Spirit to accomplish it and bring it to pass. Now, what the Holy Spirit does is work in the heart to bring about some changes. Nobody is brought kicking and screaming and dragging their feet and resisting. The arrest analogy that I used might suggest that. The sheriff goes out and arrests somebody and they don't want to be arrested. But when the Holy Spirit arrests somebody, what does he do? He changes their heart and gives them a desire to come. There is a sense in which he does this forcefully. He is going to accomplish his purposes, and nothing is going to cause him to fail in his task, but he has many tools in his arsenal. He is, after all, Almighty God, and so he doesn't have to bring anybody against their will because he has the power to change their will, and that's exactly what he does. Those who have been chosen by the Father are set apart for the attention of the Holy Spirit. And so this sanctification could include, probably does include, the work of regeneration. The Holy Spirit finds those that the Father points out to him, and he goes to them and creates within them spiritual life, in which they now have a sense of the guilt of their sin and a desire to come to Christ and the faith to believe on Christ. These are the things that the Holy Spirit does because he sets them apart unto God. But he does more than that. This sanctification is more than a one-time setting apart. It is an ongoing setting apart. It refers to the entire present work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. We sometimes call this progressive sanctification. The Holy Spirit continues to set God's people apart, making us ever more like Christ, ever more holy, ever more set apart to God. And so setting Christians apart as God's chosen people is done by the Holy Spirit and making them increasingly conscious of their new status as the children of God, giving them ever growing greater spiritual desires and thereby making them more holy. Those whom the Father justifies, the Spirit sanctifies, transformed by the Spirit. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.